The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're off and running. Glad you're with us. Second hour, Jimbo Fisher joining us in the first hour. We had a lot of conversation about Alabama, Florida, and a few other games. You can give us a ring now at 855-242-7285. Pete Thamel from Yahoo, one of the most respected college football columnists anywhere, will join us shortly. Let's get back to the call as we go. Bart is up next. Hey, Bart.
Hey, Bart. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
Thank you very much.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I don't know if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago that you made a prediction that Lane Kiffin would be the first assistant coach of Saban to beat him. And being an Alabama fan, I hate to say it, but I believe you're going to be correct in a couple of weeks. They got a really good football team and still up in the air about Alabama this year. Watching the SEC show this morning with Peter Burns and Chris Doering, I think Chris hit the nail on the head when he's talking about the section of Alabama fans that think we should never lose another game, but we need to come back to reality. This team's not near as good as last year's team. So, but I just wanted to congratulate you. And in a couple of weeks, I believe your prediction is going to come true. And I'll let you go. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the pre-congratulations, but it has not happened yet. That statement was made right after Lane got the job. I'm not sure how much thought I put into it, but then again, that's in keeping with my predictions. Let's get back to the calls. Bob is in Cincinnati. You're on the air. Hello, Bob.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. Your earlier conversation about poor tackling and tackling technique, I had a conversation with a high school coach a few weeks ago. And how do you teach tackling and avoid targeting? And I'm afraid that players are so afraid of the penalties for targeting that it's affecting. I mean, this coach is telling me they teach high school players to turn their head. And I'm just curious, what do you think? And I would like you to ask coaches about this when you have a chance to talk to them.
Bob, it's a great question. And I haven't really thought about that aspect of it, but I will talk to the next coach about it, because it does seem like even the elite teams like Alabama simply don't know how to tackle anymore. And I know that's not the case.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, form tackling, and you know, I'm 72 years old. We sometimes it tells us lead with our head. Well, that's all gone, and
you can't do that.
It's different for these kids.
There is a severe risk, and you're right. Hey, thank you. You don't want to create the issue and get kicked out of the game. Nick is up next in Starkville. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Nick, we are doing great.
I wanted to ask you a question about the, Alabama system play Ole Miss in a couple weeks. You know, I'm kind of excited about that game. Do you remember the last time Alabama had an onside kick with 10 minutes left at their stadium? Remember that?
I do not.
Well, it was when Freeze was there and we was whooping that butt. How many points you think we're going to be favored by in 2 weeks?
I'll have to get somebody to give me the number on that. I don't think it will be a tremendously large number, but Alabama will definitely be favored.
You think Alabama will be favored?
Against Ole Miss? Yeah, absolutely.
Really? How bad do you think we're going to beat them?
I must say, I really haven't given the game all that much thought.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll wait till next week to see what you think.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've tried not to get too. I mean, we spent a month talking about the Alabama Texas A&M game, and I'm trying my. This is just with me. I mean, everybody like has New Year's resolutions. My September resolution was try not to get too hung up on games that are 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks away. But we do have some interesting games this weekend. And next week we have, I don't know if you've seen the schedule, it is dynamite. But we'll talk about it next week because we have a lot to deal with this week. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Brad is up next. You're on the air. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, first I just wanted to say, as far as the little alligator goes, he probably just didn't see anything he wanted to bite into because they're pretty quick.
Well, you know, I in full disclosure, I miscalculated, and when I got home, my wife said, "I mean, what in the world were you thinking?" And I said, "I thought I was not that concerned." And I'll just give you the conversation. I thought the gator might lunge up with his mouth. And she said, "Do you know anything about alligators?" And I'm like, "Do I look like Crocodile Dundee?" "No, I don't know anything about." She said, "They don't lunge up. They move forward and then they lunge up," which really bothered me because my plan to fight the gator was all wrong. I would have been I would have at least been noseless if nothing else.
Well, I think he was just a little bit discerning about his next meal.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think he was thinking, if I'm going after somebody, I'm going after somebody with a little more meat than this clown.
But what I wanted to, I mean, I'm an SEC fan, and Alabama, Georgia, Florida, I mean, I love them all. I always want SEC to win. But I do think that I'm heavily an Alabama fan. I was disappointed in the game the other day. But at the same time, you got to look at, like, Tulane and Oklahoma, Georgia Tech and Clemson. I mean, these are like one-off games. Somebody played over their head. I'm not necessarily saying that's what happened in the Florida-Alabama game. I'm just saying you can read a lot into one game that really isn't there as far as the quality of the teams.
That's a really good point. Hey, thanks so much for the call. And I do have to ask this question, and I've heard from friends of mine in Alabama all day, and it's almost like Alabama lost a game. But if you don't even have to be at the upper echelon of the food chain here in terms of understanding college football, but if you looked at Alabama's schedule, you thought Miami might be interesting for a half, maybe not. You knew Florida would be a tough game. You know that Ole Miss and A&M, that stretch is going to be difficult. You know LSU and Auburn later in the season. You didn't know about Arkansas before the season. But how could anyone not have looked at that Florida game and go, you know what, that's a difficult challenge right there. So I find the reaction from Alabama fans to be intriguing. And I'm wondering, this is just one man's opinion here, but I wonder if the overreaction has more to do with the betting line. That Alabama fans like to partake when they do bet on their home team, and the game obviously went Florida's way if you're betting the game in Vegas. So they almost feel like Alabama lost. Alabama did not lose the game. Florida gained a lot, but Alabama didn't lose. And I think somewhere in the we've lost something in the translation here. We will take a break. Pete Thamel will be with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Busy, busy Monday afternoon. We started with Jimbo Fisher. He was with us about 30 or 40 minutes ago. Pete Thamel joining us right now, the outstanding columnist from Yahoo. Pete, good to have you on. We've been talking about one of your articles. Can you explain what's happening in college football this year? Good afternoon.
Yeah, you know, Paul, I think what we're seeing is the reverberations from a most unusual 2020 that's led us to have a season so far 3 weeks in where we can portend it's going to be an unusual 2021. You know, the confluence of super seniors, you know, bigger rosters from super seniors, more depth, giving kind of the middle class and traditional have-nots more players, older players, et cetera, has reared itself a little bit. And we're also looking at the three kind of blue bloods we expect to pencil in the playoff every year, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. They all have new quarterbacks. They all have the talent drain of three and done, and they're all replacing them with either young players or older players in their program who certainly aren't high-end NFL picks like the people they're going to replace. So I think that the simple way to say it, Paul, is that the high end is a little lower and the low end is a little higher. And what you have is in the middle, kind of a beautiful mess that, sure, you remember 2007. It's certainly starting to, this season certainly could trend that way.
Let me start with a couple of impressions. And you can only imagine how many Alabama fans have called in today, either boldly defending their team or wondering, you know, what happened. Your assessment of Alabama after an uncharacteristic second half against Florida.
Yeah, I think the biggest worry for Alabama would have to be how Florida gashed them in the run game. Bryce Young is young, and he is going to get better. And I think there's enough talent, a good enough offensive line to score points. But if you're not sound in the middle, and kind of up the middle in the SEC, that can lead to some issues. So I think if you're Alabama looking at things right now, that's where Nick Saban is. That said, Paul, I'm not going to overreact too much to a road win in the swamp against Florida. You know, and this isn't Jim McElwain's Florida or Will Muschamp's Florida. It's a really good version of Florida that Dan Mullen has rolling on a high level. So, and you know, Mullen's probably the best play caller in all of college football right now. So you give credit to Florida for figuring out those weaknesses. And maybe that's a little bit of a blueprint left for the rest of the SEC.
And beyond that, we'll broaden the picture a little bit. There are some new kids on the block, so to speak. And how seriously should we look at BYU and Cincinnati, which has a couple of opportunities here in the next few weeks, has already had a few? I mean, are these legitimate contenders to the party?
Yeah, well, Paul, I spent last week all access with Cincinnati for 5 days and was on the sideline for their Indiana game. I got a big article coming out on Yahoo about it next week. And I'll say this about Cincinnati. I've been around a lot of these sort of interloper teams going back to Utah in 2004, and Cincinnati was one under Brian Kelly. And, you know, there's obviously been TCU and, you know, these rising programs from the Group of Five. And the one thing that really stands out about Luke Fickell's program to me, Paul, is that they are talented. Sauce Gardner, their corner, is a first-round pick. I think Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, Paul, and nobody's saying this right now, could end up being the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft. Kind of the guys we had projected up there, the Spencer Rattlers of the world, have fallen. Sam Howell's a divisive prospect at best, and Ritter's just going to keep winning and rising. He reminds me of Dak Prescott in his development curve when Dak was back at at Mississippi State. So, look, Cincinnati's offensive line probably isn't going to let them take that final push unless it gets a lot better. They really struggled against Indiana. But I really think they've got, you know, seven guys who can get drafted right now when I sit back and look at it, and four guys who could get, who could potentially get picked in the first two rounds. So they're talented. They're every bit of it. The problem with the group of five teams is that they don't have the depth, and we'll see if they can hold up throughout the year. But I'm a believer in Cincinnati, certainly in that conversation, and I think they'll be favored when they go to Notre Dame in 2 weeks, and they should be. They have proven it, they've built it, and it's a really exciting time on that campus right now with the Big 12 invitation coming recently. But they're the hot team with the hot coach and the hot quarterback, and they're going to be a lot of fun to track this year. And when you go to BYU, if Zach Wilson had come back, there'd certainly be a lot more believers. But I really think when you look at the play that the tailback Algier made running down the linebacker who intercepted the pass from Darren Hall, the Arizona State linebacker on Saturday night, that to me was the single best individual play of the year. And somebody at BYU texted me today that was, and I thought it was a great point, that's indicative of the culture that Kalani Sitake has put there. You got a tailback who runs, tracks the guy down from behind, and I said this on our podcast, he looked like a Marvel superhero spiking that ball out of the linebacker's hands and turning around the game and, you know, preserving the lead. I mean, it was, as individual plays go, there hasn't been a more memorable one in college football all year. But BYU is always going to be able to be competitive on both the offensive and defensive line, and they have really good skill right now. So, I mean, look, they're going to have seven, I believe, Power Five games on their schedule, including a trip to USC late in the season, which could be a whole lot of fun, and the stakes could be high. So, generally, I'm a believer in those two programs as top 10 programs right now, and they continue to still have to prove it. But I do think some new blood and some new juice in the conversation is good for everybody. And props to Fickell and Sitake for building those programs to this point.
Pete, speaking of USC, it's been just about a week since the news broke about Clay Helton. Are you hearing anything substantive, or just people throwing names against the wall to see what sticks?
Well, nobody's in a rush right now. When you talk to people at USC ball, they're going to dive in, and they have the luxury of time to really dig into candidates and take a look. But my take on that is, I don't think that the name that they end up with is going to be an outlier or going to be a big surprise. It's certainly not going to be, you know, an assistant coach. It's going to be a big brand established head coach, a name we all know. It's an excellent job. It will attract a really good pool. And I really think it ends up being somewhere in the realm of James Franklin, Bill O'Brien, Matt Campbell, PJ Fleck, Luke Fickell. You know, I think it ends up somewhere in that neighborhood. And those are all excellent candidates and potentially good choices. So, but there's been no movement towards anybody or backroom deals or anything like that. They did that move now to save this current season with Dante Williams taking over, and they had a really energized second half in Pullman behind Jackson Dart. So there's a good energy coming out of USC right now, and yeah, I really think they'll end up with a high end veteran head coach.
I don't want to preempt your story, but were you? I mean, the irony of you being around that program while Luke Fickell's name was being bantied about, I'm sure that that was not something you missed.
No, that was not. that was not missed. The most impressive thing about, you know, having known Luke Fickell when he was an interim and you know, seen him as a coordinator, obviously, at Ohio State for a bunch of years after. And he was never a guy, Paul, who was, like, really job-seeking. He was very patient for a long time, didn't really go play the interview game, didn't really play much of the agent game or the search firm game. Luke Fickell's a guy who's very comfortable in his own skin and very confident in his own skin. I could actually see Luke Fickell being an excellent NFL coach. Mike Vrabel's his best friend from when they were at Ohio State together, and they have that same demeanor. But, you know, there's a lot of coaches I've gotten to know over the years. A job opens, they call within 10 minutes, they ask a million questions about it, that kind of thing, and that's just not Luke Fickell. The DNA of Luke is very much a wrestler. If anyone right now is bored at work listening to this, Google Luke Fickell high school wrestling. I'm going to make up the number. He was like 103-0 as a high school wrestler. And just, there's like YouTube clips of him just mauling people, Paul. Like just poor high school kid after poor high school kid getting thrown to the mat by Luke. And in a way, that's kind of how he very much approaches things. Look, we've all heard one game at a time, cliches and all that stuff. But Luke Fickell is very much approaches every day like he's stalking a guy on the mat. But yes, there was certainly some buzz in the building that I believe is Monday afternoon when the Clay Helton news came down. But it really didn't seem to concern Fickell other than he made like a joke about getting a lot of text messages that day. So, to be obviously Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna, the two guys who are running the USC athletic department, now hired Fickell at Cincinnati. So there are some. There are some ties there. Luke has never lived outside the state of Ohio, Paul. He did have a cup of coffee at the Saints, so I guess technically that's not true, but he's really only lived – he worked at Akron for a brief spell, and he was at Ohio State for many, many years. He's been at Cincinnati now since, I think, 2017. So it would be a departure from the sweet spot where he's comfortable and from what he's grown and built there. I do think he's very energized, Paul, by the Big 12 and the fact that Cincinnati can keep growing and building up what it's done.
Pete, one more thing on that. And I remember seeing you a number of years ago, 7 years ago or so, maybe somewhere around then, at Mississippi State. You were doing a similar piece with Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. When you do something like that, obviously you know a lot of coaches. Once you get the green light, what's it like to be behind the scenes and what is the reaction to seeing a reporter hanging around from the other side?
Well, there are some of the favorite stories I've done in my career. They went with Brad Stevens at Butler that I remember fondly, and have done a bunch in college football at some different spots over the years. And I think the first thing that strikes me, Paul, when I look back, is how little we really know about football. Like people like you and I who work in football and talk about football or write about football for a living. When you sit in those meeting rooms, like sitting and listening to Desmond Ridder and Gino Gadulli, like talk about the Cincinnati offense, I mean, they might as well be speaking Mandarin. Like football and the depth of knowledge of football is clearly at a level that's certainly over my head. I don't want to lump you in with my limited knowledge, but it's you are reminded of what you don't know. And you know the staff at Cincinnati was great. Like all of the ones that I've done over the years at places. I mean, they're going to take their cues from the head coach, and the head coach invites you in. The staff is welcoming. So it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of like you learn a lot about how to attack defensively at 12 personnel, right? Like it's the first Sunday night I was there. I sat in the defensive staff room for like 4 hours. And they were looking at 12 personnel, and then at the end they were like, "Yeah, that's what Indiana runs on 8% of their plays." It's like we just spent 4 hours.
A final question on that, plays. Pete. When the game's going badly, which it was early, what's going through your mind? Because if they lose this game, your story has been dinged pretty badly.
Well, the story would still work because there was a lot going on there. But yeah, I felt a little bit like a gambler in terms of gambling with my time. But it was—I don't know how many of your listeners watched. It was a really entertaining football game. There was momentum shifts and big plays and key adjustments, and also too, one thing you minimize watching on TV and even for the press box. I mean, it felt like a game played in a bowl of clam chowder. I mean, it was hot, soupy. The sun was going down. The one thing I'll remember for years is that the halftime locker room, like the trainers were delivering IVs to players with such vigor, like you could see, like they're standing on stools, men and women, and squeezing these IV bags into the players, and they're they're sweating and their biceps are bulging because of the intensity of like trying to get the IVs in the players fast enough. So, it was a cool, wild, fun ride on Saturday, and thankfully they got the ending right. So it's gonna really help my story.
Can't wait to read it, Pete. Thanks so much for making time. Always great.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Pete Thamel, the best out there in doing what he did. I had to think, Pete's in, what, Cincinnati? I was down in the swamp on Saturday, fully dressed, and I was thinking, how in the world is anyone walking out in that stadium with a uniform on? It was, I don't need to tell anyone in our audience so what it's like on a 90-degree, 100% humidity day in Gainesville, Florida, at Florida Field. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back, and for you Florida fans out there and fans of all SEC schools, you might want to make sure your DVR is recording right now. Yeah, it's one of those moments that happens on a Monday after a big, well, let me rephrase that, a narrow 2-point win by the Crimson Tide. Legend is up next.
Woo! Paul, I'm picking gator teeth out of my butt.
Well said.
Gator respect. Gator respect. Man, we got out of swamp barely alive, baby. Barely alive, Paul. I mean, I thought I was going to have to leave town, Paul. I don't have my bags back. This is two games in a row that I was thankful Florida didn't have more time at the end of the game. It really is, Paul. And what really pissed me off is you're dead right, Paul. I went 2-1 on Saturday on my picks, and my only loss was Alabama minus 14.5.
yeah, I subscribe. I know that. I subscribe to your service. I thought that was your top pick, so I put all the I moved all the cards to the table on that one.
A 5-star pick, Paul. I only give out 5-star picks 3 or 4 times in a season. A 5-star pick that Pete Golden totally screwed up, Paul. Matter of fact,
many people in Alabama were cursing Pete Golden about 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon?
I know I was, and a lot of Alabama fans were making excuses, Paul, but I don't make excuses when it comes to sports. And my team sucks. They suck. I'm an Orioles fan for life. We suck. You know what I'm saying? And Pete Golden friggin' sucks.
Be careful. His daddy's going to call again and get after you. Remember his father called 2 weeks ago.
I don't care if granddaddy, great-granddaddy, and super-granddaddy calls. The dude does not belong as the defensive coordinator at the University of Alabama, Paul. I mean, we're talking the University of Alabama.
I just want the audience to let me make sure the audience. I don't need. I know we don't. You speak English, and the audience does not need a translator. But we have a lot of people that pop in and out just to kind of get the temperature. I want people to understand. We have arguably the biggest Alabama fan in the country, legend, calling in this program at this moment in time. And is calling, you're calling for his head, right?
I'm calling for a U-Haul at his house right now with an eviction notice and telling him to pack the hell up and somebody get me Jeremy Pruitt on the telephone right friggin' now before we kiss number 19 goodbye. That's what I'm saying, Paul. That's what I'm friggin' saying right now to the nation on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I tell it 100. Woo! I tell it like it is. But you got 11 starters on defense that Mel Kiper, not the legend, Mel friggin' Kiper has projected in future mock drafts as NFL draft picks. And you let Emory Jones sit in the pocket and write a book all friggin' day. What the hell is wrong with this man? I mean, his safeties can't tackle. At least send them on a blitz. Everybody knows Emory Jones under pressure is not a very good quarterback, except Pete friggin' Golden, Paul. Alabama has the best team in the nation. They do not have the best coordinators in the nation.
Well, why do you think Nick Saban continues to stand by his man? I mean, other than the fact he won a national championship last year and is currently number one in the country.
I mean, he must be married to somebody, Coach. I love Coach Saban, and I'll ride with him to the gates of hell. But we're going to lose the national championship if he keeps carrying this man. The man cannot coach, Paul. He cannot friggin' coach. And when he leaves, he needs to go to Bill O'Brien's house and take him with him, too, Paul.
Hold on a second. You don't like Bill O'Brien?
Hell no. When did we become an offense snapping the ball with 3 seconds on the play clock? I tell you when we did, when Bill O'Brien showed up in town, Paul. That's when we became. We have slowed down every freaking game. We were snapping the ball 80 to 85 times a game just a season ago, and now we look like the Georgia Bulldogs all of a sudden. We're fake snapping, fake slapping, looking to the sideline 3 or 4 times. When the hell did we become that offensive team? It's not that we don't have the best team in the nation. Our assistant coaches at the very top suck. And that's the real reality of Alabama football right now. We've had to change coaches so many times that we finally got to a place where our coaches suck, Paul. And that's the real truth of the matter. Bill O'Brien done turned us into a watch the clock snap it at 1 second. And I don't know what the hell Pete Golden's doing because he damn sure ain't Golden, Paul. And that's just the truth of the friggin' matter. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we won. I'm happy about that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you sound it.
I mean, we don't get it.
Legend, hold on just a second. I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, okay? You're a legend, Bama fan for life, and you have just called
for
the defensive coordinator to be fired, and the offensive coordinator needs to be right behind him. Am I hearing you correctly?
Hell yes. When Pete Golden hits the city limits of Tuscaloosa, don't look back and have a trailer on back of your pickup truck with Bill O'Brien's crap in it also hauling his ass out of state, too. That's what I'm saying, Paul. That's what I'm freaking saying,
brother. Oh, my goodness. We'll leave it there, legend. We need to run. You got a final thought? I don't want to get in your way.
I got participation trophies for Dan Mullins and the Florida Nation. Congratulations. You hung. Legend out.
Oh, my goodness. Help me with this, Randy.
Yeah.
Bama won the game, right?
By two.
Didn't cover, which may be at the root of all this anxiety and angst. But they're still number one in the country. And you got legend calling for complete overhaul other than Saban. Let's take a break. We need a break. We'll get your reaction to all of that in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. We've all relaxed and had a couple of beers and gotten past the legend call. Eddie is in New Jersey. Hello, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Nice to be back on your show. Being a former high school and college coach and watching that game Saturday, as everybody did, I mean, obviously, there were so many mistakes on both sides of the ball, and that's got to be cleaned up. I think the Alabama fans have gotten too used to winning by 30 points, and the game is over by the third quarter. I don't see that happening this year. I really don't.
What is your assessment of what you see?
My own assessment, again, sloppy play on both sides of the ball. Defense adjustments. I know everybody's getting on the Alabama defensive coordinator, but you can only, as a coach, you can only put the kids on the field. They got to play the game. You can't physically play the game for them. So with their reads and their coverages and, you know, all of that stuff, again, that's just my opinion. But I think Saban, you know, he knows he's got to sew up that line, because you ain't doing it in the SEC running 91 yards a game. That's not happening.
No, that's a really, really good point.
And it's going to get tougher. You know it yourself. You've been around a long time, probably as long as me.
This is my 80th year covering college football.
That a boy. Yeah, you got a great show. I watch it every day. And, I'm a diehard Alabama fan, but I'm a very realistic person. So.
Well, thank you very much, Eddie.
It's
always a pleasure to hear from you, just like it's always a pleasure to hear. I don't always tell the truth on this show. Daryl is up next.
Paul, you know what the problem is, right?
What's up, Daryl?
The guy just told you. Alabama fans are spoiled, okay? That's what the problem is right there.
Well,
I like
Daryl,
Alabama fans.
Alabama has won six
They're
national
spoiled,
championships
Paul.
Since
exactly.
2009.
Exactly.
When's the last time your team won one?
We won one a couple of years ago. You know what? Legendovich, just be happy they won, because sometimes the best team doesn't win. Like a few years ago in the national championship game, like when Auburn ran back the missed field goal, sometimes the best team doesn't win. But, I mean, you know what? Here's my biggest issue with Alabama fans. They never want to give the other team any credit. Never, okay? They hadn't played nobody. Who have you played, Legend, up to now? Now, Miami, please, give me a break. They're not even ranked anymore. You're not playing nobody. Florida got a pretty good football team, but don't worry about it. Are they missing Daddy? Is that what it is? Y'all miss Daddy. Y'all miss Daddy. It's not in Athens and building a great defense. Y'all miss him, don't you, huh? I mean, we conquered the state of South Carolina this weekend. We conquered it. Beat Clemson. Beat South Carolina. Turned the ball over three times. Still beat them 40-13.
Right now, you're
the
South Carolina state champion.
Oh, we're going to start working on the state of Tennessee this coming up weekend. You know what I mean? And don't worry about my fans. We're going to show you in a few weeks how to take care of Florida, okay? We're going to show you how to shut that quarterback down and take care of them, because we got the number one defense in the country, and we can throw the football. Our offense is explosive, and you know what? It's just a great day to be a Georgia Bulldog. Go Dawgs. See you all.
Nothing like Daryl coming out of the fallout shelter to join his team. We didn't hear a lot of Daryl last year, did we? Well, here's where we are. We are 2 hours in. We've had Jimbo Fisher on. We had – who was the last guest we had on? Pete Thamel. I've already forgotten. We've had three guests tonight. We've had Jimbo Fisher, Pete Thamel, and Legend. And Greg McElroy will be joining us, and we're going to have Legend return to debate Greg McElroy on the fine points of Alabama football. We are not done yet. We're just getting started. Stick around.